Welcome back into the program today, folks. We'd like to thank you for joining us. We're going to continue on the series of lessons we started a long time ago, and this is going to be the second part of a Bible that you can trust, but it's basically looking at four main points of doctrine by which we basically created our doctrinal statement. And those four main points are that there is a gospel that you can believe, a life that you can live, a Bible study you can understand, and a Bible that you can trust. And the last time we started off looking at that there's a Bible that you can trust. God has given us His Word that He is going to judge us by. He has given us His Word by which we can be saved. He has given us His Word by which we can live the life that we're expected to live. And He has given us a book and a Bible by which we can read it and study it and know what He has in store for us. We're not going around looking for, well, what's God's will for my life? You know it because you've got the book. And so the last time we started taking a look at, there are differences in Bibles. There's differences in Bible versions, and we've looked at those. And then we started taking a look at, well, where did this come from? Where did it start? And so that's where we ended off the last time, and that was in Genesis chapter 3. So if you go back to Genesis chapter 3 with us, we'll start off there, and we started taking a look at, the very first thing is, Satan comes in with Eve, and he questions God's Word. He questions the authority of God's Word. And then so what happens is, we notice that Eve took away, she added to, and then watered down God's Word. And then what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at a couple things. We've looked at the fact that Satan questions it. Eve subtracts from God's Word. Eve adds to God's Word. Eve waters down God's Word. Well, the last part is Satan himself just completely flat out denies God's Word. There's 5 points here that takes place that a lot of people don't know and understand about your Bible that we need to know and understand so that we are equipped with information. That way we know exactly what we're getting into. So Genesis chapter 3, we'll take a look at a couple more things real quick. Verse 1, we'll start off in verse 1. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. We've already looked at this, but we want to make sure that we get the context and review. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And of course, the last time we took a look at a verse in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, specifically verse 2, where it says, God tells the nation of Israel, don't add to or take away from my commandments. Okay? And the reason why is because he knows that this attack has already been placed on his word. Because he knew when he said this and Moses wrote it down in Deuteronomy chapter 4, God already knew that this had taken place in Genesis chapter 3. But notice what happens here. At the very end of all that, verse 4, And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. Don't worry about it, Eve. You're not going to die. God's not going to kill you. And it starts off with questioning God's word. So Satan comes along, questions God's word. Eve subtracts from it. Eve adds to it. Eve waters it down, and then Satan flat out denies it. And that's exactly what's been going on with the King James Bible for years. People questioned it, and then they said, well, there's got to be something better. And somebody came along and said, hey, well, we've got this other stuff that's been around a whole lot longer, apparently, and we care more about all this other stuff. And then we talked about the fact that the trustworthiness of the text becomes an issue. And so one of the things that we want to see is that's where it started. Well, it wasn't just the only time that that's ever happened. If you go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. This was going on after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is going on in Paul's days. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. Paul says, "For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ." He says, we're not the ones that's going around here corrupting God's word. It was going on in Paul's time. There was this second line. In fact, if you go and read 2 Thessalonians, Paul talks about the fact that there's people that are spreading books around and epistles around saying that they were from Paul that were going to the churches in Thessalonica. And he says, don't worry about those. You're going to know whether something's from me or not. And so there's these other books that were floating around that weren't true, that weren't scripture, but people believed them as scripture. So then what we want to do is let's first start off with the revelation of God, the revealed word, the delivery of the word. We'll start off with the delivery of the word. So go get Isaiah chapter 22, verse 14. Isaiah chapter 22, verse 14. Isaiah 22, verse 14. It says, "And it was revealed in mine ears by the Lord of hosts, surely this iniquity shall not be purged from you till ye die, saith the Lord God of hosts." Where was this word of God revealed? Well, it was revealed in his ears. He says it was revealed in mine ears. How? By the Lord of hosts. Who spoke the words in Isaiah's ears? It was God. God breathed. God spoke them. Right? It was revealed to him in his ears. Go get Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 2. Verse 1. Ezekiel chapter 2. Verse 1. "And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me." He audibly heard the word of God being revealed in his ear, just like Isaiah. He audibly heard the words. Go get 1 Corinthians. And the key thing is that I want you to make sure that you all understand as we're going through this, the words on the page are what matter. It's not the thoughts. It's not the intent. It's not what we think it is. The words on the page themselves is what matters. And this is a verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. We'll start off in verse 9. This is a verse that a lot of people love to quote, but then they forget verse 10 because they can sound a lot holier than thou and all that stuff. Verse 9. "But as it is written, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Everybody loves that verse. You don't know what's going to happen. Nobody has heard about it. Nobody's seen it. It's not even come up in your heart and in your thoughts and your minds what God's going to prepare for you. Notice verse 10, it says, But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. How is it that it's revealed? It's revealed by his word. It's revealed unto us by the Spirit. The Spirit itself is what reveals it to us. So the revelation, the revealed word, comes from the Holy Spirit working in God's word. What happens is it produces the knowledge of God. Well, what's about? What is it about? It's something that the Lord spoke to them. Well, then somebody comes along and says, yeah, but the Lord spoke to me. I was watching a TV show here, a local TV show last week, and this woman said, the Lord just spoke to me about a verse. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. If he did, then you better write it down, because that's now scripture. Because the words that are revealed to you are now scripture. And you better write them down, and you better put it in a version, and you better send it out to everybody in the world, because if it's a word from God, then he's going to hold everybody accountable to that word. Well, the problem with that is people say those things to make themselves look better in front of other people. Because, well, that person just must be closer to God than I am. Now, let me ask you a question. How much closer can you get if you have Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, if you have Christ in you, the hope of glory, and you're in Christ, how much closer can you get? You can't. And what people do with this religious system is they come along and say, yeah, but the Lord spoke to me. No, he didn't. If it's contrary to God's word, I know he didn't. And what this lady said on TV is contrary to what God's word says. So I know for a fact that he didn't speak to that to her, because it's contrary to what his book teaches. The second part of Revelation, the revealing or the revealed word itself. The second part is, it's the objective standard of faith. It's the universal objective standard of faith. The fact that we have a complete revelation, the fact that we have a complete book. Go over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Because what I want you to know is we have a complete revelation. We have a complete book. There is nothing that needs to be added. There's nothing that needs to be taken away. We have a complete and total revelation in a book. Chapter 1, verse 25. Paul speaking here, he says, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, notice, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. What's the purpose of Paul writing? What's the purpose of the dispensation of God? He says that this dispensation of God, he's the minister. He was made a minister by God the Father himself through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ comes down on the road to Damascus and saves Saul, gives him a new message that's never been spoken before, and that's what it's called, the dispensation of the grace of God. And he says that this dispensation of God, this dispensing of truth and knowledge from God, is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. So the moment that Paul pens 2 Timothy and puts a period there, God's word is complete. Revelation is over. God's not speaking to people today and having them write things and write books and stuff like that. God's not working that way, because people misunderstand what it means to be inspired. The words themselves were spoken by God himself. Okay? There can only be one standard. And I've used this before. If you go to school and somebody comes along and says, in this algebra book, I want you to read chapter 1. Well, what happens if you have a different version of that same textbook? Is chapter 1 going to be the same in both versions? Most likely not. It depends on which one you get. But if you have one version of one and another version of another one, and the person comes along and says, all right, so I want you to do the homework on page 43. And in one textbook, there are questions on page 43. In the other textbook, there aren't any questions on page 43. And if somebody's going to be held to the standard of knowing that material that page 43 is assessing, don't you think that it would be good for both people to have the same standard? That they would have the same things on page 43? You better believe it. That's why it's so important for us to know and sure and be sure that there is one version written in the English language for you and I to be held accountable to. And like I said, we can go through all the old things and talk about all the theological exposition, and we can go through and talk about the historical canonical orders, and we can talk about all these other things and say words that make us sound smart. But what it comes down to is, I don't trust any other version.